It's Power Hour LSU.
Let's freaking go, BHL Nation. We have a lot of news to get to. And the first, of course, is Sam Levitt. I want to first discuss the film studies that we have done over the past week. Obviously, we already did one with Mr. Sam Levitt a few days ago. And then, of course, we did the one tonight from Brendan Sorsby. And you do have the report out there now that the great Steve Wilfong is now predicting that Brendan Sorsby is going to Texas Tech, and then Sam Levitt will be visiting LSU at some point this week. So we're going to get to a few other visits. Obviously, I want to talk about Stephylan Green, a Clemson defensive tackle, which obviously is a deeper cut position. We're obviously more worried about the quarterback spot right now. But at this point, from what I understood today, Sorsby visited LSU. He was not only visited by LSU, he was visited by a pretty busy man by the name of Charlie Weiss Jr., who we are going to get to in just a moment. But the truth here is LSU just simply cannot wait for whatever is going to happen with Trinidad Chambliss. And of course, everybody wants Trinidad Chambliss because he knows Ole Miss, he knows the system, the Charlie Weiss system, the Kiffin system. And, of course, he's just a better quarterback than the two guys that we just mentioned. But at this point, you just can't wait. And especially if he keeps playing well, what if he goes and wins the national championship? He's definitely going to be the number two or number three quarterback selected in next year's NFL draft. So, I say next year, this year's NFL draft. So, for me, I do think LSU would be wise to just take one of these two quarterbacks. I understand it is going to get pricey. But the one thing that is a little concerning if you are an LSU fan right now is that you do see some of these other programs already buttoning up the quarterback position. One that needed to be replaced in a big way was Indiana, Fernando Mendoza. And then, of course, that got replaced today by Josh Hoover, the TCU transfer committing to Indiana. Another Indiana wide receiver committed today in Nick Marsh, who was also connected to LSU. So the truth is the quarterback market is still plentiful. There's still plenty of names out there, even some on the lower end and the less experienced end, and the ones that you would need to take a leap of faith with. Those quarterbacks, of course, would be cheaper, and you can, of course, build around those players. So really excited about what this next week will, I guess you could say, bring into the LSU football program. But at the same time, should there be just a little bit of nerves in your system? Yes. Yes. To me, the second biggest story today was Weston Davis. So Weston Davis was a guy whose name entered the transfer portal, and he wanted to get it out. They were able to agree to terms, and they decide to bring him back. So the single most criticized person on this team this year, outside of Garrett Nussmeier, was Weston Davis. And Weston Davis is a wide receiver, an offensive tackle who had so much hype coming into LSU. it looked as if he was going to go to Texas A&M. And LSU won out on this recruiting battle. This was a great basketball player, and he was a guy that you thought could even contribute, maybe even a mop-up duty in year one, and he kind of sort of did. This past year was year two for him, and LSU elected to make him a starting offensive tackle in the SEC, even though his performances in practices were not great. And everyone got to see it at in the spring game. And it then proceeded to be the single worst PFF-graded season by an LSU starter of the modern era. Now, there is some positivity surrounding Weston Davis because his PFF grades were better. I saw a tweet from Will Rosenblatt today that said his last 3 weeks were as good as any offensive tackle in the country when it comes to pass blocking. What's not included in that, though, is, and Will knows this as well, we played very differently towards the end of the season. So the Oklahoma game, for instance, they didn't have R. Mason Thomas, and we played a lot quicker. We played a lot more favorable to what poor offensive tackle play could actually be, right? You're not going to get beat too badly if you're playing quick and you're screening here and screening there. So for me, not that big of a deal if Weston Davis had walked out the door, but it is nice to bring someone back as LSU has lost quite a few offensive linemen, including one in Cohen Echols, who I thought could be something, and he indeed committed to Texas A&M today. So for me, at this juncture, Weston Davis is a nice bring back simply because of numbers. It would have been something if pretty much every scholarship offensive lineman had walked out the door. And I will say, offensive linemen tend to have a closer relationship to their position coach than other positions. And that was no different than Brad Davis. I know a lot of us didn't like Brad Davis. And rightfully so. The offensive lines were not great at LSU. But what happened? Well, a lot of those kids had good relationships with Weston, with Brad Davis. And Weston, of course, was one of them. So I am of the belief that LSU was a better team with Weston Davis coming back to the Tigers this year. Okay? Now, next thing today is the Charlie Weiss rumors. His name got floated around with the New York Giants. And it makes sense. New York Giants, they have Jackson Dart. Charlie Weiss understands Jackson Dart. He coached Jackson Dart. And, of course, he had such a powerful performance versus the Georgia Bulldogs. It was a nationally televised game. Everybody is sitting down and actually watching that game. And the truth is, Charlie Weiss is indeed a really good play caller. Now, so much of it comes down to how much of it is Charlie, how much of it is Lane, whose system is it exactly? And obviously, Charlie has proven that he can go out there and get the job done without Lane. But it's still Lane's system. I do think when you factor in Charlie Weiss's pretty big buyout, it would be crazy for him to take another college job, but it's a little bit different when it comes to the NFL. Could the Giants do something truly spectacular and get a coach as young as him, even though he's not really young? There are pictures of him as a 14-year-old coaching on the sideline under his dad's tutelage. His dad, of course, is really well-connected in the NFL, Coach Tom Brady and the Patriots. So I could see a world where that were to happen. Would that hurt LSU pretty badly? It would. It would. But we could survive it. And I do think at this juncture, Charlie Weiss is still going to be the offensive coordinator for LSU. And it would be something if he were to, for some reason, take the New York Giants job while flying back and forth between Ole Miss and LSU like he has for the Brendan Sorsby visit, all right? So, you know, I feel as if when it comes to Charlie Weiss, you should want him on the LSU sideline. You should. And at the same time, you look at what he did versus Georgia, it was truly special. It truly was special, some of the things that they were able to do in that game. Now, some of it were Trinidad Chambliss circus plays, but Charlie did a good job adjusting to what Georgia did different defensively, which the big change for me was they were a lot more aggressive with their defensive back play in this game versus Ole Miss. But for me, I truly do think Charlie is going to be a great coach at LSU. And then the next thing, of course, is Kevin Smith. He is a running backs coach at LSU and also at Ole Miss. He comes over from Oxford to Baton Rouge. And now there's this story that Kevin Smith is not going to coach with LSU, or excuse me, with Ole Miss in the playoff. But that then changes today, that he is going to continue coaching Ole Miss in the playoff as he was back in Oxford today. Weird situation. Don't know exactly what's going to happen with that. But for me, I think if you're Ole Miss, the one guy you for sure want is Charlie Weiss, because he is indeed the play caller. All right. Now, some other news. I'll go through it really quickly because there really honestly has been so much that's happened in the last 24 hours. Jaden Bryant, a five-star defensive end, committed to LSU, and he is out of South Carolina. Then also JT Lindsey got cleared today, and Stephylin Green, Clemson defensive tackle, also will visit LSU. We also have Iverson Hooks visiting LSU, another wide receiver today. Now, we're going to get to as many of your comments as you possibly as we possibly can. This is also the first day of a three-day fast for me. I feel like it's very important for my health because I have an addiction to food. I love eating. I'm not fat anymore. But if you see me flub a few words, it's because it's the first day. My body is in a lot of pain. But I'm still locked in and ready to go after cutting three film studies today. So pretty pumped up to take as many questions and as many comments as we possibly can. Okay? We say hi to Jeb. We say hi to Murphy. We say hi to Gaming Heavy. We say hi to Football Under. No smart program pays millions for a what-if quarterback, a quarterback not proven to win. Well, it's been done before, and it's not worked quite a bit of the time. Auburn did it this past year with Jackson Arnold, and it did not work. Let's go to Murphy, who says Lane could make a quarterback out of some kid from Eastern Middle Tennessee State Junior College for the blind paraplegic girls. I think you mean he's going to be developing somebody on LSU's team, and his name is Michael Van Buren. I'm kidding. But for me, when it comes to quarterback development, you want Lane Kiffin more than anyone else. Now, I will also tell you this. I don't want LSU to be in a spot where they say, look, we absolutely positively need to pay $8 million, $7 million, $6 million to for sure get Brendan Sorsby. Because to me, if you overpay for a quarterback, and you don't spend wisely in the trenches, what you're doing is you're taking away the thing that you actually paid up for, which was Lane Kiffin. If you are buying Lane Kiffin out of the Ole Miss deal, which is essentially what you did, and you're convincing him to come to Baton Rouge, one of the big reasons you're doing that is for quarterback development. Well, if you're in a spot where you're paying so much for Lane Kiffin, and then you have to pay so much for the quarterback position, then you're double dipping basically in one area, when that money, of course, could be sparsed out across the offensive line, if that makes sense. The problem, of course, as many of us dread, is what in the world could this LSU offensive line actually look like? Okay? Now, coming up, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into the overall transfer portal class. LSU does have a commitment. It is a wide receiver. It is a wide receiver out of Hawaii who just happened to play in the most ridiculous bowl game. Well, the school did, Hawaii, in a ridiculous bowl game. And unfortunately, I thought about him a little bit earlier today. Every time I go and watch Hawaii highlights, I have to go back and relive the GOAT, Colt Brennan. But there you go. Let's go to Jalen, who says Teron Manchild Francis is in the portal. Well, we shall see. We shall see if he comes back. But we are so much so focusing on who is entering the portal instead of who is actually coming in. So coming up, quick break here. Once again, thanks to our friends at Labor Therapy and LaborTherapy.com. We are going to discuss the wide receiver that a lot of you should know pretty well by now.
Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LaborTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LaborTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's L-A-B-O-R-D-E Therapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new signup gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we got to save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go.
Pretty nice pickup today for the LSU Tigers. Comes over from Hawaii, and he spent his first two seasons with the Stanford Cardinal and had his first game for Hawaii this year against the Stanford Cardinal. And he went on to have a massive impact on the Rainbow Warriors. Now imagine if you're Jackson Harris, you spent your first 2 years at Stanford. Your first three games, you don't have a single 60-yard gain. And then what happens the rest of the way? You put up at least 79 in every game, and you put up 100 yards plus versus Air Force, then do the same versus Utah State, Colorado State, San Jose State, San Diego State, and Wyoming. And the thing that really stands out to you about Harris is the explosive play rate. Four receptions over 70 yards in his career. And then he had a 68-yarder versus San Jose State. Explosive, big guy at 6'3", 205. It's what LSU desperately needed. Now, you take a look at the wide receiver room moving forward, and you take a look at the wide receiver room from last year. It was too big. It was way too big. It needs to shrink. The rotation, everything. So I understand we get disappointed when Kyle Parker tweets out a photo of him visiting Ole Miss today. And then you also have, Manchild going into the portal. You have Jelani Watkins tweeting out his practice highlights. You have Kylan Billiott visiting James Madison. You have all these different things and have all these different wide receivers for LSU that are in the portal that are visiting here, there, and everywhere. The truth is, you're not wanting a wide receiver room to be too big. And you also want the standard of the wide receiver that you bring in to reach a high level. Now, here's the thing about Ole Miss. They play a lot of plays. Lane Kiffin's going to want to push the pace. And at the same time, he doesn't like to sub out a lot. He likes to stay in 11 personnel. He likes to go fast. So there's not going to be a lot of rotation with those wide receivers. So you need some dudes. You need some bona fide killers that are willing to play long periods of time for you to succeed. So Jackson Harris, of course, commits to LSU. Now, that is the only portal commitment up to this point. That is hopefully going to change at some point. There's obviously a lot of you-know-what going on right now. BSing agents trying to get their kids to as many visits as they possibly can. It's really hard to lock in commitments right now because everything is pretty much unregulated. You know, you can put as much pressure on as many schools as you possibly can, as you possibly want. You could say, you could be on a visit. And it'd be reported that the national insiders are expecting you to go to another school. Now, I want to talk about Sorsby again, because this was sent to me a little bit earlier today that there was a 247 report and prediction of Brendan Sorsby picking LSU. And the truth is that was a prediction by a local reporter in Cincinnati. Now, he might be good, might not be good, but it wasn't Steve Vilfong. It wasn't him. It wasn't Pete Natkos. It wasn't a national guy. And the reason that's important is because anyone can log a prediction. Anyone. So with the Sorsby situation, you have a bunch of the national guys kind of sort of saying the same thing, but kind of sort of not. But for me, I still think LSU wants either Leavitt or Sorsby. Just based on everything that I've read, based on everyone I've talked to, that's why I've released those two film studies on those two gentlemen. It takes way too much time. This shit moves way too fast for me to spend as much time as I do putting together a film study for any one player. So I probably won't do film studies anymore, just to give it a little behind the scene of what we have going on here. I'm not going to do it if someone I don't think LSU could actually land, if that makes sense. I just don't think it's worth your time, my time, or anything. Because I heard someone comment earlier, hey, why would you do a Sorsby film study when Texas Tech is now the leader? It's because when I started on the damn thing, that was not really the case. There really wasn't a leader, even though it always kind of felt Texas Tech was in the lead. But we don't know. We seriously don't know. Let's go to Brian. He says, just like the first season of the Brian Kelly era, LSU will have severe depth deficiencies throughout this roster in Kiffin's first year. Yeah, I think you're right. I think for me, I look at the depth of this team. It's probably going to be a little bit more shallow, if you will, than even that 2022 team. Because for me, the 2022 team had some amazing true freshmen. And hopefully Lamar Brown, hopefully Richard Anderson, hopefully those guys are that good in year one. The difference, though, is having two true freshmen fill in as offensive tackles on a team that reached the SEC championship game. It's pretty lucky. It's pretty unheard of. Can LSU get that? Can Bryson Martinez come in and just truly blow our faces off. Hopefully that is the case. Now, there is one player that has moved up for me when it comes to guys that I would like LSU to pursue. Jacarius Peak is an offensive tackle for NC State. So, you know, a few weeks ago, when a few of you asked me to do a CJ Bailey film study, I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And then I was like, yeah, I don't think this is going to happen. And I just watched NC State. Okay. LSU's after a few other NC State players. Basically, the entire NC State offense is in the portal. Their best wide receiver, Anderson, we're after. Hollywood Smothers was their best running back. We're after them. And now their best offensive lineman is in the portal. And this is a team that still has their head coach in Dave Doran. I'm very much in the Jacarius Speak fan club. This NC State offensive line was a lot of fun to watch. And I do think he could come in and be an SEC left tackle right now. Okay. Now, I've not watched him like super close magnifying glass, but it was one of those things where you'd be like, damn. Like, their offensive line's like good. Their offensive line can just flat out maul people. And sometimes you wonder, well, is it ACC competition? Is that what it was? But no, I'm in the Jacarius Peak fan club. And it's interesting because you look at our team last year, two of our best players were ACC transfers. And what I think is going to happen moving forward is a lot of the golden transfer for a lot of these SEC teams is the ACC player that's a star on their team that wants to move up to the big leagues, which is the SEC or the Big Ten, or the Big 12 player that wants to move up to the big leagues, which of course is a team in the ACC or the Big Ten. And that was the case last year. Our best offensive lineman, a transfer from the ACC. Our best defensive back, a transfer from the ACC. Our best safety, a transfer from the Big 12. And then it gets into another great NC State transfer, into Marcus Cooley, who is now officially back. I had a few of you reach out and say, well, why hadn't Cooley announced yet? I felt great about him coming back the entire time. And honestly, you should, as an LSU fan, feel really good about the LSU defensive back coaching room because honestly, they have done better than anyone else when it comes to getting their guy signed and ready for next year. They've even gotten some backups to announce that they're going to come back and buy back in to what we're building here at LSU. Michael Turner is a deep cut corner backup. He's back. Jakeem Jackson, back. And that doesn't include what LSU has at the starter position. Now with Cooley, now with Spears, now, of course, with DJ Pickett, and now, of course, PJ Woodland. So give Corey Raymond a lot of credit and give the LSU coaching staff a lot of credit. Let's go to Pegasus answering the poll question today. Are you concerned about LSU's transfer portal class? 55% of you say no. Let Lane cook. Obviously, all of this is going to be so day by day. Now, before we get to another quick break, got to squeeze one more in on this glorious Sunday night. I do want to bring up a few things from the college football playoff and what's actually going to happen in the next couple of rounds. I've grown on Miami actually getting the job done versus Ole Miss. I felt after the Ole Miss game, it was Rebs all the way. But I do think the Rebels have not faced an elite pass rush in a while. And this is going to be a really good group. All right, so Ole Miss has played Georgia. They have not had a pass rush all season. They played Tulane. And then last game of the season, they played Mississippi State. And then the week before that, they played Florida, who obviously has a good pass rush. But still, you're in a spot now where you have Miami, whose pass rush is the best left in the tournament. So for me, I've grown on Ole Miss beating Miami, or Miami beating Ole Miss. And then, of course, in the other matchup, I do like Oregon. Yeah. I do believe in the – it's really hard to beat a good team twice. And I do think Oregon's going to get it done. All right, coming up next, everybody's favorite segment on the planet Earth. PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
The Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you? It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563, or visit fortifiedgulf.com. That's FortifiedGulf.com. Alrighty, it's time for everybody's favorite segment. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. We do it every time around the 30-minute mark of every PHL Live. What did Lane tweet today? So here's Lane talking about the Charlie Weiss Jr. flight tracker. Ole Miss running backs coach Kevin Smith, one of the assistants who signed with LSU, has returned to Oxford and is at practice today. Ole Miss's playoff coaching staff structure remains in flux as assistants travel back and forth from Oxford to Baton Rouge. As noted Saturday, Charlie Weiss Jr. went from New Orleans after the Sugar Bowl to Baton Rouge for LSU meetings, to Oxford for Ole Miss Fiesta Bowl prep, back to Baton Rouge for LSU recruiting, and is expected back in Oxford for more game prep. Lane Kiffin basically is retweeting that out. Here's another one. Lane Kiffin talking about all the places he's been. This was Lane Kiffin at Building 5. I've actually eaten there once. Lane Kiffin's tweeted from the Supper Club, Walk-Ons, Torchies, Phil's, and now Building 5. Or if it's, is it supposed to be BLDG5? There you go. Here's Lane Kiffin tweeting out public support of Trinidad Chambliss getting one more year of eligibility. There's high stakes for Chambliss with the NCAA decision. He would be among the top players in the NCAA transfer portal and command millions for 2026 if he's allowed another year of eligibility. Okay. And basically, Lane followed up with Tom Mars. For those who may be interested, this excerpt from a second letter that was sent to the NCAA earlier today explains the gist of why the waiver request filed on behalf of Trinidad Chambliss plainly satisfies the requirement of the applicable, legally enforceable NCAA bylaw. All right. So basically, he's looking for a medical waiver to play one more season. All right, this was Wilson Alexander talking about Jackson Harris. We already shared that stat earlier. Tied for the most 60-plus yard receptions in the country this season with 5. This was Chaz Coleman. We started our live stream talking about him a few nights ago. That was on Friday night. Penn State star transfer edge Chaz Coleman with Lane Kiffin on his visit to LSU. You can see Lane Kiffin brought out the Bentley. There's Chaz Coleman right there. So do you give him all the LSU gear, and does he give it back if he ends up not choosing your school? That's a question that I want to know. The steam for Chaz feels pretty good for LSU right now, by the way. But if you want my full breakdown of him, you can go back to the show from a few days ago. Talked about Jaden Bryan a little bit earlier. 5-star defensive end for the class of 2027. That's obviously not this recruiting class. It's the next one from Irmo, South Carolina. These obviously don't excite you as much as they once did, but it's still cool. Okay. Here's Garland Gillen interview with Harlan Berry at a card show. I was at a card show this weekend in Shreveport. Shout out to Shreveport card show. I was going to save that for a little bit later, but since we are here, actually, I'll save that for a little bit later.
I kind of had it in mind before the bowl. You know, I know that people were asking me during, but I was trying to tell everybody, like, I'm just trying to focus on the bowl game. But I kind of had in mind that I was going to stay home. And then talking with Coach Kiffin, talking with Coach Smith, and just getting a good feel from them and overall how they were going to use me in the offense and everything made me positive that I want to stay.
Keep it going here. DJ Pickett returning for 2026. All 4 of the QBs in the final are Christians. And there you go. And that's it for what did Lane Kiffin tweet today-ish. Let's go to BT with a generous super chat here. I struggle to see how LSU overcomes these massive roster holes, especially year one, Lane or not. Kelly got lucky in his first year with the skeleton roster. Yeah, he did get very lucky, and it is important to go back and look at some of the results from that season and how lucky that they actually were. We should have never won that Auburn game. Thankful for Greg Brooks for getting that done, and Jay Ward, of course. But you're right, and you know we're very fortunate to have won as many games as we did that season, especially when you factor in a 9-game SEC schedule this next year. It's going to be wild. Now, this to me is important, and you know, we get tunnel vision on LSU and what next year is going to look like, and you know, the mess that is college football right now. What I want to also share is quite a few teams are having massive transfer portal dilemmas. And there are so many SEC teams panicking right now because not only do you have the portal, you also have the looming 9-game conference schedule. And overall, the SEC coaches aren't necessarily on fire about that. I will say this, though. If you think LSU is a mess with our roster and the coaches being there, of course, it is the most glaring mess that there is probably in the portal right now in terms of who's where and all of that. But there are a lot of schools dealing with some pretty extensive transfer portal drama. And part of the problem here is because there is so much money involved. Schools don't have hardly any leverage right now. They really don't, especially this early in the transfer portal. And the premium players are going to command such a premium that you could end up getting burned, right? Let's just say, for instance, Texas, who is currently in negotiations with trying to land Cam Coleman, all right, who is the best player in the transfer portal at any position, in my mind. And he knows that. Everybody knows that. All right, if you don't think he's the best, he's at least in the top five. And Texas wants him. They absolutely want him. And they have a situation with Parker Livingstone, who's a good wide receiver for them. He got into a he said type of situation where Livingstone said, basically said, hey, circumstances out of my control. I need to go do what's best for me. There's some Texas fans reporting out now that he's been talking to Oklahoma, which would be pretty wild, especially for a kid that grew up wanting to play for Texas, is now playing for Texas. And there are some reports saying that Texas offered him a very lucrative six-figure deal. It's that he wanted more and more assurances and all of that. So I simply want you to know that we're not the only school that's dealing with a lot of drama right now. Now, Texas's roster overall is in a better spot than ours, but there are so many kids with so much power, and I know a lot of us point to the over 3,500 college players that entered their name into the transfer portal. That sounds like a made-up number, but it is a real number. And we're like, damn, not all these kids are going to find spots, and they're going to be in for a rude awakening. The problem, when you focus on that, is that those are for like the lower-level kids. We're trying to get some real dudes, and the real dudes have options. It's tough. It's really, really, really tough. Let's go to DK. The days of a school having aura are gone. It's all about money. I know. I just saw Indiana dog walk Alabama, New Horizons. And you're right. You know, it is some of it's money, but I don't think Indiana's the best example here. Indiana truly is just running a better program than anyone else. The scouting is better. A lot of our focus has been on Mendoza and then paying to upgrade a quarterback. But, you know, outside of a few like draft riders, there wasn't anyone that thought Mendoza was going to be the best quarterback in the sport. And then on top of that, they had a lot of still group of four transfers or group of five transfers that were big for them this year. But overall, your point still remains the same. Okay. Now, Pegasus brings this up. I wanted to bring it up at the 45-minute mark. And we're not quite there. Okay. I was going to save it for the final 5 to 10 minutes because you guys know how I am. I hate talking about non-games. And a lot of what we're breaking down tonight is non-games. But there was a big game, and it did involve with the number two sport that we cover here. And the insides of me, first off, are gasping for food. If you just joined us, I'm doing a three-day fast. I think it's very important for my body. And I've done a lot of research on this. And by a lot, it's my friend has done a lot of research, and we did it before, and I did feel great afterwards. But my body is wanting food so bad right now. But what my body wants more than food is an LSU women's basketball SEC victory. Hell, I want an SEC victory in men's or women's. Today was abysmal. Okay? It was abysmal. And all I have to say is what I said in the Discord. And I promise we'll get back into football. Just give me a minute here. Sometimes you're right about stuff. And I took some heat for not really talking about the blowout victories and us being undefeated and all of that. It is never, ever good to beat everybody by 80 in the offseason. It's just not, because you're just not going to be ready to play actual close games versus actual good teams. The only real non-conference test you had was versus Duke. But LSU, this team is in trouble. You know, you play Georgia later this week, and then you have Texas later in the week. And Texas, of course, is the best team in the SEC. And you lost on the road today to Vanderbilt. All right, Vanderbilt might have the best player in the SEC this year. And then, of course, you lost versus Kentucky on a buzzer beater. But that was a game you should have won. And this has been an issue with a lot of the Kim teams, is there are a lot of mistakes made in the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. And this has been something that's happened a lot, even when we were winning. So I'm concerned. I'm very concerned, because I love this team. All right, I really, really, really do. There's great girls on this team. I still think the Lady Tigers are going to go far. I think they're still one of the better teams in the SEC. They've lost two close games versus two top 15 teams. But, you know, whether it be rotations or whatever, it's concerning. And Kim Mulkey, you know, said in the post game, she's worried about the toughness of this team. There's just not a lot of size. And Kim's teams historically like to play inside out. You know, the Full Wiley, a Malaysia Full Wiley, who I love, that's been rocky. But, man, I just hope we find a way to beat Georgia and then have some momentum going into the big game versus Texas. Still very early. It's always good to get some lumps in early in the year. But that's why you play difficult non-conference teams. Tournament committees have they're very lenient to non-conference losses early in the year. Okay? And everybody's favorite, Flauge, tough day. Tough day. Okay? Now, we're going to do it. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving all night. Pull up a player that I find to be very interesting. And let me make sure I'm spelling his name correctly. All right, here we go. I was going to try and get a quick pronunciation. But Stephylin Green with an LSU visit. His best game came versus LSU early in the year. As you can see, he's not really played a whole lot. It was 2024, kind of a rotational piece. And then in 2025... would be very nice to get a defensive tackle in the mix here. The sophomore out of Rome, Georgia, had 2.5 sacks this year. Obviously, we don't think a defensive tackle being a big need, considering now Dominic McKinley's coming back and you brought in all those 4 and 5 stars. But it would be nice to bring in another DT. I do think they need to bring in at least one. I thought one player that signed back with LSU that was really fascinating, and I had a really high school grade on this kid, was Brandon Brown. I loved Brandon Brown coming out, and he is indeed coming back to LSU. I'm excited about that. He didn't play a whole lot. Walter Mathis is also coming back, which is nice. but we shall see. Okay? Damian Shanklin also announced he's coming back. Let's go to something Wilson Alexander reported a little bit earlier today. Boise State transfer safety Ty Benefield is visiting LSU right now. First team All Mountain West with 107 tackles, 8.5 tackles for loss, and 2 INTs. So how is that going to work if you have Spears back? And you have Cooley back. Well, you make it work. Put one of them at nickel. Rotate them in. Do whatever it takes. I do think LSU needs a safety as well. And I think, obviously, the blatantly obvious positions of offensive line and quarterback are positions of need for LSU. But I do think about some of these other positions that LSU indeed needs depth at. I think there's room for improvement at a position like defensive tackle or at safety. All right, because when you lose someone as good as A.J. Halsey, you still want to try and improve on it. And maybe you improve in numbers this time. Pegasus says, I'm not in college basketball mode yet. We better get there, bud. All right, so this broke during the stream. Ahmad Bro has committed to Kentucky. He has 2 years of eligibility left. He's got 3 years to play those 2 years of eligibility. Okay. Now, I do want to touch on the Saints. Tough loss today in Atlanta. It was really Atlanta that lost today, though, because they ended up firing their coaches. And they fired Raheem Morris, and then obviously his assistants will go now. And Terry Fontenot was also fired today, their general manager. But from a Saints perspective, Tyler Shuck looked good to me today. And I know that's not necessarily the case, because, you know, the film is probably going to paint a different story. But that was one of the worst supporting cast I've ever seen a quarterback play with in the NFL. And you had no better than a fifth stringer pretty much anywhere on the offense outside of Juwan. And it was a tough game. It was a tough game for the Saints offense. Tyler did throw the pick, and it was critical. Give Aldrick Estime a lot of credit for chasing that down. But I'm still on the Shuck bandwagon. I still am. I like watching the future pros and the women because they play like NBA style. But I'm watching LSU on Tuesday. You should. I will be too. How does this team respond? 0-2 in conference play. Crazy. I want to touch on a few pros and cons of Soars being Leavitt before we go in it. And you do probably need to watch a film study because we go deeper into detail with these things so you can actually see them in action. You know, I think Sorsby is probably the better fit for what Lane wants to do. I think both of them are similar in that they do give you something with their legs. I think Sorsby is a better runner. He's obviously the healthier quarterback. But the thing that's interesting about both of them is you will see them struggle with the gimme completions. You really will. One thing that really makes me like Sorsby a lot is no matter where he goes, he is going to be surrounded by far better supporting cast members than what he was with at Cincinnati. Whereas at Arizona State, they had the best wide receiver talent in the sport. Now, wide receivers number 2 through 4, well, I actually like their number 2 guy, but you get the point. Jordan Tyson's really good. And then at running back, Malik Brown was really good. So, you know, there's that with Sorsby that I found to be interesting. And I kept using this talking point for both of them is that when they played the tougher competition, they struggled. I do think that probably applies a little bit more to Sorsby than it does Levitt. But, you know, we shall see. I think, for me, I would probably lean Sorsby over Levitt if I had to choose between two of them after watching both of them quite a bit over the past 48 or so hours. But it's close. I do think it's close. You know, the edge for me with Sorsby also is – you know, there's not as much health concern. Okay. Let me see here. Kenny Minchie committed to Nebraska. That was a deeper cut one that I liked a lot out of Notre Dame. He's just not had a chance to play. Let's go to LA Mom. Sorry if I missed this earlier, Carter, but who does Lane pivot to if we miss on Levitt and Sorsby? Well, I don't want to say, because it would get the chat not happy. My best guess, and once again, this is just a guess, would be DJ Lagway. Okay, could I see Deuce Knight? Yeah, I could. Hmm. You know, one thing was interesting, and I hate to do this because I think of the people that do this, and I don't have as big a platform as other LSU guys, and I love my LSU platform, by the way, but I don't have a national platform. That's a big thing. I try to fight for the little guy. I do. I try. I don't think the group of five should get more than one team in the playoff. I think you need to be in the top 12 or top 16 or whatever. I'm all about provisions and all of that. But one thing that was interesting was the Hawaii wide receivers coach tweeted out a big congratulations for Harris committing to LSU. Okay. And that goes against what you would expect, right? Jackson Harris played one season at Hawaii. Hawaii took a chance on him when Stanford wouldn't play him. And 1 year, you're gone. And what I think is actually going to happen is more of the Group of Five programs are going to paint them as the feeder schools of the Big P4s. And that is kind of sad. That is kind of sad. Because it's different for us because we're one of the big guys. But imagine if you were a Hawaii Rainbow Warrior fan. And you saw your coach doing that. And you're like, damn. We're really just going to acknowledge ourselves as a minor league school. It's crazy to think about. Let's go to Brian. Can LSU reach Georgia and Ohio State level in recruiting under Kiffin? So basically, top five national classes every year. Yeah, they can do it. They can do it. We've done it before. Not quite every year, but yeah, they can. It just comes down to how important is that for LSU. You know, Manning would say it is important. But for me, we'll see how the portal evolves. We'll see how the rules change. You know, if you're Georgia, yeah, you've lost in the Sugar Bowl 2 years in a row, and you didn't like losing this game versus Ole Miss, but you had probably the youngest team left in the field. You were different than every team in the field, in that most of your production was from high school kids that came into the school from high school to Georgia. Sure, you had Zachariah Branch as a transfer, and he was probably your best offensive player. But most of it was homegrown talent, which means theoretically your team is indeed younger. So there you go. All right, y'all, that'll do it for me. Great show tonight. Appreciate our top super chatters. Mr. Brian coming in hot. So much fun. I think we're going to go live tomorrow as well. We normally do. Mondays at 6 p.m. Central. Big thanks to everyone that showed me a lot of love on the Brendan Sorsby and the Sam Levitt film studies. You can check them out for yourselves. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight. We are doing nothing. Let's go. Ah, ah, ah.